Well, we know who we are, and we know where we're going, right? So, well, this morning, we are going to look at what it means to be born again. You know, God is always the giver. He is the one who initiates. He is the great creator, and he is the one who gives first. Guess what? We have the opportunity to choose or to reject what he gives. And when he gave us salvation, he wrapped it up in this beautiful package with a lot of different things in it. And the greatest expression of God's love was giving his son for us in the act of salvation. That's the greatest gift or present he's given us. So let's talk about this man that he gave us, his son. He was a perfect man because his bloodline came from God. It didn't come from Adam like our bloodline. It came directly from God, his father, so it was a perfect bloodline. His mind was perfect, and he kept it that way. His body was perfect. He could live without sin, or he could live without sickness or disease. And at the baptism of John in the River Jordan, he received spirit, which was the perfect complement to his body and his mind. So being a man, Jesus Christ had a choice. He could choose between obedience or disobedience, and he always chose the Father's will. He always chose to obey his Heavenly Father. Now let's take an even closer look at what he did choose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So what did he choose for us? What did he choose to do for his Heavenly Father? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, Ken Petty says about this verse, not only did he die for our acts of sin, but on Calvary, he actually became sin. He became one with us, dead in trespasses and sins, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Now let me explain something, kind of paint a picture for you. So Jesus Christ was perfect. He had a perfect mind, a perfect body. He utilized that spirit that God gave him to show the mighty works of God and the power of God. And he was tempted in all ways like us, right? So we understood what temptation was. What he did not understand is what came when somebody was tempted in sin. He couldn't feel at that point in his ministry, he couldn't feel guilt. He couldn't feel shame. He couldn't feel hurt. So on the cross on Calvary, he decided to take it all on himself for you and for me, and not only that, for all mankind. And not only did he physically suffer, but he mentally suffered too. Imagine, he took all of sin of mankind on himself on the cross. You know, I've been thinking about this lately. It's just unfathomable. It's beyond our understanding that on the cross, he conformed to us so that he could understand us, so that he could be the perfect Savior. And it says in Hebrews that he became a high priest. Do you know what a high priest did? A high priest in the Old Testament represented the people. How could he represent us unless he understood how we felt? So when we have a problem, when we have a need, he truly, truly understands. He became our perfect Savior in all ways. It's just, it's an amazing thing. And you know, it's amazing. He lived his whole life without sin. Guess what he chose? Sin. He chose sin on himself. So it's just, that I've been thinking about that. It's just so amazing. I don't think we'll ever fully understand, maybe until the gathering together, what was done for us in our salvation. And because of that salvation, God was able to give a gift. He was able to give a present that's all wrapped up. And guess what? He gave, and then now it's our opportunity to choose. And he offers that to every man to choose. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he gave. So I want to take a look at the result of what Jesus Christ did. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many, many, many brethren." So, you know, now it's man's turn to choose. Do we choose what he did and now what God offers through his Son? He gave us his life, Jesus did, and when God raised him from the dead, he received a new life. He completely gave up his old life. It died. He gave everything. And God raised him up and gave him a new life. He was born again. It says he was the firstborn. And there were others born after that. And we are the same as Jesus Christ in that new birth. It's his image. The only difference is his standing is of the head of the body of Christ. That's the only difference. So that was a wonderful thing that he did for us. He conformed to us on the cross. Now we conform to that Christ in us. And that was a wonderful gift that God gave. And that gift of Holy Spirit is perfect, it's whole, it's complete, and it's incorruptible. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we've been given this wonderful gift to be born again. Let's take a look at some of the attributes or some of the things that are packaged in that new birth. The first thing we're going to look at is something called our sonship rights. When we were born again, we received certain rights as a standing as a son of God. The first one is that we are redeemed. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption or the redeeming that is in Christ Jesus." Now, it's really interesting. That whole redemption, God took it step by step by step, and it culminated or reached the climax on the day of Pentecost. The first time on the day of Pentecost, anybody could be born again by believing that Jesus Christ was their Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And also, they could show forth the power and the reality of that new birth by speaking in tongues. So that's redeemed. We've been justified, Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Justification, what does that mean? It's a legal term. It's used in a court of law. And it means just as if you never sinned. We were completely released from the penalty of sin when God raised Jesus from the dead. We are justified. We are made righteous. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made or became unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You know, when God gave us spirit, that very spirit that he gave us reflects who he is, and he's righteous. So that spirit inside of us is the righteousness of God. We are sanctified. We are set apart. That's what sanctified means. Our spirit is what sanctifies us, sets us apart. And that literally means that we are bound for heaven and all hell can't stop us. We've been set apart for heaven and for God. And then lastly, is the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I have said in the past that that ministry of reconciling is a ministry of a shepherd. And I just wanted to read a part of what Jan Majira has to say about shepherding. Hang on here, I just lost my page. She's an Aramaic scholar. Hold on. She's an Aramaic scholar, and she's written a lot of wonderful books and given a lot of insight into the understanding of the language that the Bible was written in. And in regards to shepherding, she says, and you can turn here if you want, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. And I'm reading her translation of that in the Aramaic. And I just wanted to, the reason I'm doing this is I've said that we have the ministry of shepherds, but I wanted to be able to back it up, okay? So it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, "Everyone who is in Christ is therefore a new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything has become new from God, who reconciled." And that word reconciled in the Aramaic is areia, R-A-E-A, which means it's a done job. But to us, to himself, he reconciled us to himself in Christ. That's how he was able to do it. And has given us, here we come in, okay? Given us the ministry or the service of reconciliation. That word is T-A-R-E-U-T-H-A, Terutha. So she goes on to say, "Everything has become new from God." Why? We've got new pasture. This is in reference to a shepherd, what a shepherd does. New pasture, new food, new care, new trust, new everything. If we replace the word reconciled with to shepherd, the verse reads, "We who shepherded us," this is God, "to himself in Christ and has given us the service of shepherding." That's what he shepherds us so we can in turn shepherd others. So I just think that's such a beautiful analogy that we are shepherds. And if you want to understand that fuller, you can more fully, you can look at Psalms 23 that explains all the beauty and the care and the tenderness of a shepherd. And that's what we can do for others. So that's the ministry of reconciliation. And then finally, let me give you a description of that spirit that we have inside. Turn to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it starts out. That fruit is who we are. That fruit is that spirit, that Christ in us. And it has a character, and it's reflected. That character is reflected through each one of us in our own unique way, our own unique personalities. And that's what makes the body of Christ so wonderful. But we all have these same attributes. So let's go ahead and read. What do we have? We have that perfect love. We have perfect love inside. We have perfect joy. That spirit is joy. We have wholeness with peace, that perfect peace, long-suffering. We have that gentleness of God inside of us, that goodness. We have the faith of Jesus Christ inside. We are meek and we are temperate. We're temperate in all things. We have temperance. That's the character that we took on when we got born again. And we have the right and the privilege to show that and to live it. So the next thing we have is we have power. And you heard a little bit of that this morning with the manifestations. It says in John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, Jesus says actually, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, stop and think about the works that he did. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, I got to thinking about this. If we are supposed to be witnesses of Christ, we need to look at his life. He walked in the power of Holy Spirit. So if we want to be that same witness as he was, we need to walk in that same power. That's the best way to be an example of him. Okay, so I just want to list for you the manifestations. We have the manifestation of inspiration manifestation that builds up the church, that exhorts them, is tongues. Tongues with interpretation and prophecy. Then we have the eyes and ears of the church, the knowing manifestations, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then we have the impartation, the power manifestations. And that's, I'm drawing a blank. There's gifts of healings, miracles, and manifestation of believing, which inspires believing in others. And when those things, the miracles and the gifts of healing show forth, it inspires believing in a community. It brings people together and it inspires them to show forth that same power. So it says, these are all listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, They're listed a little bit differently if you're to read them, and it's because they are listed in their numerical value, which is something really special in itself. But I listed them in their usage. So here we have these wonderful things that God has given us, that beautiful nature, that power. What do we do with it? You know what? The key to opening those things that God gave us is our mind. We have to study God's word. We have to live it and show it forth. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, let's go ahead and read that. It talks about what we've been given. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "If you then be risen with Christ," and we are, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God," and we stand right next to him at the right hand of God. "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. That old man is dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God." You know, when I read this verse, that hid in Christ in God, it reminds me of the Witness Protection Program. I mean, have you ever watched a movie where somebody has, you know, gotten strong enough and brave enough to be a witness against, you know, a really bad guy? And in order to protect him, they have to put him in the Witness Protection Program. And they give him a completely new identity. And they start a completely new life. Well, that's what we do in Christ. We have a new identity. We have a new life. We have these new attributes. And why would we want to go back to that old life? You know? And in fact, those people in the Witness Protection Program, if they did that, they might be exposed and the bad guy might come after them. So we want to stay in Christ. We want to stay in fellowship. We want to live that new image that God has given us. He's given us all these wonderful things. You know, the attributes, the power. And you know what? God is love. And he is all good. And that's something else that, you know, we could take maybe a lifetime in eternity to not only experience, but to understand. And you know, he chose you to be his home for his Holy Spirit. He chose you. So let's choose him. Let's choose him in everything that we do. So, God bless you. Those are some of the things about being born again in the new birth.
Okay, great job, Sandy. That was really informative. So I guess we have refreshments in the back. So that sounds good. So I'd just say thank you to all the Facebook people that will be watching or whatever. But as we say back in the Carolinas, y'all come back to see us now. Are you here? All right, see you.